two Wisconsin dairy farmers are getting national recognition for creating award-winning cheese through sustainable practices.
Andy Hatch co-owns Uplands Cheese in Dodgeville, and Inga Witcher-Orth owns and operates St. Isidore's Dairy Farmstead Cheese in Osseo. Inga, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Andy, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Rob. Happy to be here.
Andy, let's start with your appearance on Top Chef Wisconsin, the episode called, very appropriately, Take It Cheesy. Take us to that moment. What was it like coming out on this high-profile show to have chefs make the best use of your cheese?
It was buzzy, for sure, and it was a lot of fun. You could kind of feel the buzz moving around the state episode by episode, and, you know, we caught our wave. I think our episode ran early April and got a ton of attention, you know, new customers from all over the country. You could feel the excitement locally, and then we could feel, you know, the nationwide attention kind of shining down on us. So it was a ton of fun.
And this was your Pleasant Ridge Reserve, already pretty well known here in Wisconsin. Are you able to keep it in stock after this appearance?
Yeah, we're still running pretty hot, but, you know, it's an aged cheese. So we've got, you know, 8,000 or 9,000 wheels tucked away in the ripening rooms on the farm. So plenty left.
Inga, you also got some national attention here with an award for your cloth bound cheddar, the National Good Food Awards, which reward environmental sustainability, but also, as I understand it, yumminess of the food. Tell us a little bit about that recognition.
Well, it was just absolutely incredible. I really pride myself on the sustainability of my farm, my farming practices. I love dairy farming. I love everything about it. And as a cheesemaker now, I love making cheese. So to be recognized on a national level for just the love of what I get to do was pretty remarkable.
Let's get into that sustainability now. You're doing a pasture-based farming, a rotational grazing. What kind of things are you doing that would lead to being recognized for sustainability?
So on my farm, St. Isidore's Dairy, we're a micro dairy. So right now I'm milking just 4 animals. So we are pretty much one of the smallest licensed creameries in the state of Wisconsin. I'd like to grow my herd a little bit more, but this is perfect for the land right now. I will take my cows this time of the year during the grazing season and move them every 12 hours to fresh pasture. What that's doing is it's allowing those cows to go out there and collect their own feed. So I'm not using any fuel. I'm not driving tractors. They go out there, harvest their own feed. They spread their own manure. And they're also allowing for beneficial insects to be living in the pastures. And there are certain birds like grassland bird species that can only nest in cow pasture. So our farm is also allowing for all of this life to be happening on the farm.
Andy, you are also doing something along these lines, moving the cows around, as I understand it, around the pasture. Tell us a little bit, Andy, about what you're doing there.
Yes, our pasture-based farming sounds similar to Inga's. We follow a similar rhythm. Our cows are moved onto fresh fields twice a day, and we actually only make cheese throughout that grazing season. So all of the benefits, you know, Inga talked about are very real for the animal, for the soil, insects, and wildlife. And then the other side of that coin, and the beautiful part of that system, is that milk and thus cheese coming off of that fresh pasture has such a special, vibrant, flavorful quality to it.
Andy, I understand Uplands Cheese, the founders there have a historical hand in this kind of practice. Tell us, share some of the history.
Well, the concept of rotational grazing is as old as rain, really. I mean, any ruminant moving through a landscape, even if it's not fenced, will eat the grass, you know, where it's most nutritious in its like kind of peak growth stage, fertilize as they go and move through the landscape, bison, antelope. What changed in the 80s was the popularization of electric fencing. So now all of a sudden farmers could shape their fields pretty quickly and intentionally and move cows in a much more prescribed way. And that allows us to, you know, manage their diet better and just as importantly, manage the pasture, the grass growth, the soil health. And so the two families that started Uplands Cheese began as dairy farmers, and they were amongst the first in the Midwest to latch on to rotational grazing and start promoting it.
Inga, I want to follow up on something that Andy said. He said not only is this a sustainable practice, but we can taste the difference ultimately in the milk and the cheese that is made out of that milk. What is going on there? How much of a difference does this make for the final product?
That's so true. For cheeses like ours and Andy's, it really starts in the pasture from what those animals are eating. So our cows are going out there. They're getting this diverse diet of all of these different forbs and grasses and all these different things. My cows will even love to eat nettles. And then they bring it back in. And one thing that the cows do is they can't digest the beta carotene in the milk. So that comes through in the color of our cheeses. So a properly grass-fed cheese like Uplands or St. Isidore's will have a beautiful richness to the color depending on what those animals are eating throughout the grazing season. And as someone who's been milking cows for her whole entire life, it is so fun to see the little differences that each milking or each feeding can make over the course of a season.
Andy, I hear about this concept. Hey, food grown in this place might taste different than food grown this place because of the unique characteristics. Is that true?
That is true in the way that Inga and I approach cheese making. So using milk from just one herd and when it's on its own fresh pasture, that style of cheese making will always give you something that tastes like the land and animals it came from. You know, the opposite end of the spectrum are, you know, larger factories blending milk from hundreds of farms, maybe even hundreds of miles away, and you know, making generic cheeses. It's very important for small producers like us to be able to compete in a big market, to have something unique and distinctive. And, you know, using milk from your own cows and from pasture-based milk is always going to help us in that way.
We're talking about sustainable dairy farming with two Wisconsin dairy farmers and cheesemakers. Andy Hatch co-owns a dairy farm near Dodgeville. Inga Witcher-Orth owns a dairy farm in Osseo. Inga, you mentioned 4 head of dairy cow right now. You think about, getting bigger at some point. What would it take? What kind of steps would you have to take to expand that operation a little bit?
Well, it wouldn't be that hard. I could add 4 cows and just double my whole business right there. One thing for me is I have to manage my grass. So as a farmer, my crop is my grass. So this year we have so much beautiful rain. So I really could be having 20 animals on the farm right now eating that grass. But it's how many do I really want to milk at the end of the day and putting it in there. But I'd like to bring my herd up to around 15 animals and expand into another style of cheese. One of the reasons I started making cheese on my farm here in Osseo was to be able to stay on my farm, both financially and otherwise, to be able to make a living on a farm as we are seeing a dairy crisis happening. So I'm hoping that we can be an example for other farmers as well.
And you mentioned all the rain this year. Well, last year, hold on, drought year in a lot of the state. Was it a different story for you last year?
It really was. But since we are a grazing dairy, our root systems go down a lot further. So we were able to make it through the drought without too much catastrophe.
I want to ask about feeding cows in winter, because grazing gets a little tougher in Wisconsin when the ground's covered with snow. Andy, what kind of practices do you use to try to get sustainable food, forage, to keep the cows going through the winter?
Yeah, we are able to grow all of our own winter feed. We graze about 300 acres with 150 cows, and that grass grows so fast during the first few months of the season, the cows can't keep up with it. So we harvest quite a bit of hay, tuck it away, and that carries us through the winter months once grazing stops and cheese making stops in November.
I want to ask each of you for advice for someone who's maybe thinking about going in this more sustainable direction. How do they take the first steps?
Call the Center for Dairy Research, housed at the University of Wisconsin, and start to introduce yourself and meet people. You'll get passed around a little bit, but there's a network of formal and informal, you know, support in the state here that wants to see small producers, you know, succeed at with businesses like these. I'm in a hotel room now at a cheese conference full of experienced and inexperienced people. There's a lot of networking, and it's a wonderful industry in that regard. So, and there are so many resources in Wisconsin. You just need to start introducing yourself and asking questions.
And then, Inga, for somebody who's maybe farming crops, they have some potential pasture land. How would you recommend they do what you're doing?
I would find a place to get those cows out on pasture. As farmers, we always have to be thinking about what it's costing us to feed those animals. So for me, my herd, I'm not producing 100 pounds of milk each cow, but it's, you know, I'm producing about 60 pounds per cow. It's not costing me any money to produce that money because of the pasture. So I think as farmers now, when we're faced with all of these issues, start thinking about those alternatives of grazing cows. It's not only amazing for your soil and for your animals or for your landscape, but without grazing, I would not get my 10,000 steps in every day. So just think of it that way, too. It's good for you and the cows.
We'll leave it there. Inga, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
And Andy, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Andy Hatch with Uplands Cheese in Dodgeville. Inga Witcher-Orth with St. Isidore's Dairy Farmstead Cheese in Osseo. She hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin.
We are rooting for a pair of Wisconsin chefs in the new season of Food Network's Barbecue Brawl that premiered this week, and we'll be talking with them next week as they go up against the best pit masters from across the country in hopes of being named Master of Q.
Closer to home, we want to know how you are a master of the BBQ, and when you fire up the grill, what are your secrets? What are your favorite cookout recipes? Maybe something passed down in your family.
So, Rob, do you have a favorite thing to grill?
Yeah, brats, of course. Uh-huh. I make this shawarma-style chicken that's pretty good. If you got this at a restaurant, I think you'd be okay with it.
All right. So you don't have to step away from the grill to leave us a message or text us now at 888-642-0232. That number again is 888-642-0232. You can also find that number at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today, where you can text us as well.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.